One other thing I wanted to bring up, getting back to Echelon 1, is I'm curious, John, from your point of view, as you follow a patient who's, let's say, is going down that route, how you manage peripheral neuropathy? What kind of changes will get you to do something, whether it's stopping the drug, reducing the dose? How do you deal with that in this specific setting?
So the data from the Echelon 1 study highlighted the peripheral neuropathy, again, was typically sensory and less likely to be motor. You know, you can pick it up pretty early just by talking to patients and getting their feel for what they describe in terms of their symptoms. And so, you know, by the time certainly you get to anything that's potentially starting to influence activities of daily living, so the grading of the toxicity starts to climb, you're going to hold or manage the drug with dose reduction. And again, this was laid out very clearly in the protocol as to how this should be done. And generally, much like the experience people have with single agent BV, I'd say it's fairly easy to manage as long as you follow the general approach that you have for managing drugs that come with neurotoxicity. So I don't think you have to think about it in a particularly different way beyond, I think, in the primary treatment setting, we're all very attuned to look for it early.
John, if a patient's about to go down, again, patient like this, younger, no prior problems, says to you, okay, if I go down this route with BV-AVD, what's your best guess of the chance that I'm going to have some type of permanent neuropathy?
So I'd tell someone, I think it's less than 10% that it's going to be a meaningful thing that they'll notice.
Greg?
I've given hundreds of patients suprentoxime levodopa in various settings. I only have like a handful of patients that have residual peripheral neuropathy. It tends to resolve, in my experience. I think that in general, if you follow the dose reduction paradigm, as John just said, it seems to me to be well managed.
Zanetta, did you have a question?
Yeah, I was curious, and you tended to prefer BV-AVD in older patients, and that's actually the point that I was wondering about. How do they tolerate the BV-AVD regimen, and is that because you're concerned about the ability to salvage these patients later on?
So we did a complementary study to Echelon 1, which is in press in the JCO, where we gave a different BV-AVD regimen. This was a multi-center U.S. study with Memorial, Northwestern, Tufts, University of Chicago, one or two other centers, where we gave two doses of brentuximab up front, followed by ABVD alone, followed by mop-up brentuximab at the end. It was a long treatment program. The results were phenomenal. They were only for patients who were older than 60. The results look better than anything that we've reported. And in fact, if you look at Echelon 1 also, the patients who were older, and actually both cohorts, both ABVD and BV-AVD fitted fairly well. I'm not giving bleomycin to someone who's older than 60. That's just not happening.
Right.
I mean, I just think that that's a recipe for disaster.
Okay.
So my knee-jerk response is to give all elderly patients BV-AVD.